That's right. We're right here at Sharp Facets Gallery this afternoon. Yes, we're looking to help you make smoochable results. You just heard that in the ad. I just did that one a little while ago. Here we are this afternoon. I have an excellent guest for us here this afternoon. I met him up at the 60th anniversary of the Korean end of the Korean War, and of course Tim Scott, Senator Tim Scott, was having a ceremony. We met Mike Nanny. He is the commander of the Sons of the American Legion, and he's on the board of directors for the Ride Home. I thought y'all would be fascinated to hear some of the things that Mike Nanny has done. He started out as a teacher, actually went into journalism, became a teacher, and retired 7 or 8 years ago, and has been enjoying life down here in the Carolinas. Was originally up there in New Jersey.
Please forgive me.
That's right. And now he's enjoying life, actually living outside of Rutherfordton, North Carolina. Welcome to the show today, Mike.
Well, thank you, Anne. It's really good to be here. Thank you.
Absolutely. You know, when we met you, you were up there with a POW flag, and Bill Funches was the keynote speaker at the ceremony for the Korean War Vets 60th anniversary, and he had been a POW. And one of the things that I know that you have done is gone all over wherever you could find a Korean War veteran, POW, and had them sign the POW flag.
Yes. It's a Korean War flag. And I found it a couple years ago up in Pennsylvania, and I asked a Korean POW, what should I do? I was going to give it to him. Mm-hmm. And he said, oh, no, I fly one flag, and that's his American flag. And he said, why don't you just keep it? And he suggested the autographs, the signatures.
So that's how that started.
That's how that got started.
Wow.
And I've been going around and seeing people and having them autograph it.
Wow. Now, how many names have you gotten on that so far?
About 30. But the first time I hung it, I hung it in Americus, Georgia. It has a soldier running up a mountain, and I hung it by the end. So it looks like he's running downhill. So I asked the guys, what do you think of the flag? And they said, Mike, we never ran downhill.
So he's uphill.
So I had to clean it, get up, undo it, and rehang it.
Now, you have been, in the last, 7 or 8 years, become passionate about our veterans, haven't you?
Yes, ma'am.
Now, you came from a military family. Your dad was in World War II.
He was a Marine stationed in Pearl Harbor after the bombing.
Wow. And, of course, but you didn't actually serve.
No.
You just became very passionate about this. What do you think made you so passionate, Mike?
Well, I have two very loving, patriotic parents, and they just always raised us that way. I can remember my dad was a cop, and after... he was married and lived here in the States, and I would help him hang the American flag at the park every morning. I could fold the American flag when I was 8 years old.
Wow.
Which has served me very well when we've done a couple funerals here and somebody needed help folding the American flag. But I had three uncles decorated for Normandy and the Battle of the Bulge.
And you said you didn't learn that until very much later in life.
Yeah, my last uncle was on his deathbed, and he said, oh, by the way, you might want to know this. And none of us knew it.
But, you know, don't you find that amazing? The World War II veterans particularly, I don't know World War I, but World War II, they didn't talk about it much, did they?
A lot of the veterans don't. And that's where the Ride Home has really blessed me. I've been around, and I've learned to shut up and just listen to their stories. And over the time, over the last 6-7 years, they've been more comfortable with talking to me. And I've heard many, many more stories than I would have ever heard.
Do you think because they're older and their time is coming close? Do you think that's part of it?
Some of it, yes. When they're sitting around with their buddies and they're talking and telling stories, and if you just sit there and shut up, you'll hear, And we did one of the POWs from Korea had a stroke, and he went to the hospital, and we took three other POWs with us to go visit him, and they had been in different camps in Korea, and it was so interesting because they go, oh, you remember, do you remember what we did, how about this one, and I didn't have a recorder.
Oh, what a pain.
Oh, man. So he came home, I bought a $200 recorder, and I'm going to get these stories now.
Absolutely. Well, I went on an honor flight a year ago in May, and they would all say to me, "Radio lady, I've got a story for you." It was so much fun, and they just shared so many things that they might not have shared if they weren't in this big group.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So you've been doing the POWs for Korea. You've been honoring them by getting them to sign the flag. And what else are you involved in? You're involved in several organizations.
I am. I'm a member of the Right Home. And I've been a member of the Right Home, not as a board member, or just as the photographer for some 6 years now. My wife and I and my best friend, Bill Perner, we would go and we'd take all the pictures and then we'd post them for on Picasso.
But how did you get involved in the Ride Home? This is an interesting story, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
Some 7 years ago, I was a member of Rolling Thunder, South Carolina Chapter 2, and we got a request for donations for the POWs. We didn't have much money, so we sent them a $50 check, but we felt guilty that we didn't know more. So we decided the next year we were all going to go down. And we went, and that's where I met...
And this is in Georgia.
Which is in Americus, Georgia, and Andersonville, Georgia. And I met some POWs here, and we were so excited that when we rushed home, some 8, 9, 10-hour drive to a meeting that we had on that Sunday, and it started off that we were... you had the president's report, you had the treasurer's report, but it's a treasurer's report about Andersonville. We're going to do this. It would be, we'll have a moment of silence for the POWs in Andersonville. And it just kept going. It was so important to us that we make
a
connection and get everybody else to get involved. And from that point on, that chapter got so involved that 1 year they actually got an award for being one of the top fund gatherers in the country. I think they got 14 people that they sponsored by their labors.
And these were veterans.
These were all veterans, right.
Now, one of the things that you told me is that when we were talking about a lady who was a POW Auschwitz survivor, and you said you just couldn't take the stories.
Well, the one woman that you the story about that, we were in Andersonville my first time, and it was a survivor from Bataan. And she was 13 years old, and she was the first POW I met in Andersonville. And she started telling me the story about what it was like to be a civilian and being held by the Japanese. And the tears were just rolling down my cheek as she was talking. And then she started telling me about how her mother warned her what she could expect. I literally collapsed on the sidewalk crying. And my wife and my friends came running up to me. They go, "Mike, what's the matter? What's the matter?" I said, "Just stop her. I can't take the story." I met her again another year. She was having difficulty in her marriages, and she had been married a number of times. And the one thing that they were doing is they would get off the bus on us. They'd get off the bus at the museum. We would take them to a certain place in the auditorium, and they were asking her name, and she would give a name, and they couldn't find it. And I'm a photographer, so I'm down in a crouched position, and I'm taking pictures, and I can see she's getting, "We'll try this one." And she's getting more and more upset,
agitated,
and more anxious,
yeah.
And finally I get to the fourth name, and she was just so distraught, and I said, I got up, I went and put my hand on her, I said, "Try girlfriend." And she looked, and she recognized me, and I escorted her. I knew where she had to go, to the Bataan section.
Right.
You know, and that was me saying back, giving back to her for, you know, being so kind to me and telling me her story.
Sure. Wow. These are the type of things that just really can make a difference in somebody's life, can't they, Mike?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah. And, you know, if you get involved with our veterans, there are so many ways to help our veterans from a civilian perspective. Sometimes we think that the government, but there's so many other things that common everyday people can do.
Absolutely. Just this weekend, I've done the Missing Man Table Ceremony twice. I've helped hang flags on the highway, on Highway 9. We put up flags at the cemeteries to mark the markers of servicemen and women. I've escorted veterans to the hospital, take them to church, gone to the grocery store for them. I mean, there's so many things you can do.
Absolutely. Well, we are here with Mike Nanny. We are going to be right back. Don't you go away. You're listening to WCRS. Hey, if you've got a question for Mike, don't hesitate to give us a call. 229-7984. That's 229-7984.
Gold. Gold. More precious than any other time in history. Do you have gold? Do you need cash? Then bring it to SFG. That's Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72, Greenwood. Telephone 229-6613. Don't forget, we buy diamonds too. Paying the highest prices for your gold and diamonds at Sharp Facets Gallery.
Oh, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery on the 72 Bypass. Yes, I'm Ann Eller. Yes, we're talking with Mike Nanny here this afternoon, talking a lot about veterans and how you can get involved or how you can remember the stories. You know, the thing about stories is if they're not written down or if they're not told, nobody will know them. And that's why I think it is so important to be able to tell the stories.
Yeah, and there are some stories that when they tell you, they don't. A lot of the POWs publish books. Glenn Frazier, Hell's Guest. But he didn't put in all the blood and guts, the
right.
real experience.
Sure.
But if you come to Andersonville, you can talk to him. You can hear, he'll tell you stories that aren't there. And he's good about seeing if there's children around. So he doesn't say something that would be harmful for theirs.
Right.
He's good. And they're all like that. A good friend of mine, Nat Henry, from a Vietnam POW. Nat said, there's a guy. He sounds just like my brother Joe. And he knows he sounds like my brother Joe. So when he calls, he baits me. He'll talk for 2 minutes to see if I can figure out if it's
him.
Talking
to
and then and when he gives it away, he starts laughing. And I go, Nat, he's a great guy. And he's got stories, too.
Sure.
He was in Hanoi Hilton with Senator McCain.
Wow.
Yeah.
So some unbelievable stories here. But, you know, one of the things you were telling me, Mike, that you tell every veteran, that they should have their DD-214 posted so that their family doesn't have to go through the trying to find it or scare it up or whatever. And that's because why?
Well, when a veteran passes who has had an honorable discharge, they are entitled to the gun salvo, the casket flag, an honor guard that would remove the flag, fold it, present it to the family, taps being played. But a mortuary can't arrange that if they don't have a DD-214 in their hand. So what happens is the service people, they'll pass, and it's in their wallet or stuck in a closet someplace.
Yeah. Sure. Not something you actually need every day.
Right. And the family goes nuts trying to, because they know, well, Dad was this, Mom was that, but they can't prove it. And I had to do 2 funerals here in the last 2 years where the family couldn't find it, and we were able to get a coffin flag and do the ceremony ourselves and present it to the flag to the family.
Wow. And that meant a lot.
It meant
a lot to the family.
It sure did.
You know, and a lot of this stuff, it does mean stuff to the family. You know, it may not to the person that has passed, but it does mean it to the family a lot to be able to have this. So it's important that if you know that you would like to do this for your loved one, that you make sure that you have that DD-214. I didn't realize you actually needed that to be able to have those things.
Yes, and those guys that were in World War II, seeing the DD-214 didn't come out until late in World War II.
Okay,
so, but they did have honorable discharge papers, and those will
the
work
same
as
thing.
Well.
Sure, okay.
So they can do those, and my father's a perfect example of that.
So what would you like people to know from what you've been doing and working here and everything? I met you up there. I was fascinated by what you had to tell us when we were up there that day. I played some clips on the radio after we came back. But what would you like people to get out of all of this?
You know, the POWMIA flag says, we will not forget. We will not forget.
What?
People don't know what that. What is it that POWs went through? What was their experience? They don't know that they had faith in two things, that American flag and God. And
when you're stripped of everything else, to hold on to those beliefs is pretty awesome.
It's remarkable. Yes. And you can't be around a POW without having that patriotism just come to you. Or the religious part, the faith, or their faith that they will get me, I will go home. And it's just remarkable. Father Chapin, the Franciscan monk, who just got awarded the Congressional Medal of Honor posthumously. All the POWs from Korea, where we were at the armory, mm-hmm. they were talking about Father Chapin. He gave his clothing away. I mean, they had nothing anyway. I mean,
right.
And he was giving what he had away. He went around and found metal in the POW camp and beat it into pans so that he could boil water because dysentery was so bad. And he gave water to the other POWs. And when they were going to shoot a POW, he went over and he grabbed the gun and pointed it to his chest and said, "Me first." I mean, those are stories, yes, but that faith, that belief is just so awesome. And I want people to experience hearing those stories from the source. Go to these, to Andersonville in America's, meet World War II POWs, because they're not here.
Many.
The Korean POWs, too. In fact, this year will probably mark the last Korean War anniversary of the convention.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's just not enough of them left anymore to meet. And even at the Vietnam POWs, they're, you know, with Agent Orange and the PTSD, they're suffering, too, and they're falling. There's not that many. We have one we got to bring home now, Bo Bergdahl. He is the only living POW who's still being held captive by the Taliban. 4 years this last June marked his fourth year anniversary. He's still there, and I got to meet his father, Bob.
Is that the one they just transferred to another prison?
No, we don't know where he is.
Okay.
And the Taliban has been trying to negotiate different things. $10 million one time, change of 10 POWs for one. But the Geneva Convention is strict on it. It says a one-for-one trade. So if you're hearing that Obama can negotiate, no, he can't. Congress signed the Geneva Convention. By law, he is bound to follow that rule.
By law. Okay, well, we'll see.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm from Missouri, show me.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
But that's what makes it so frightening, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
It does. And the fact that they endured and they came home, it's like hearing the stories of that Bill Funches there and what mm-hmm. he went through when he didn't even realize he had been considered a war criminal. He was not a POW. He was a war criminal.
Yeah.
And when they told him that to go down that little path from where he was to across the border, I guess, and don't go left or right, stay on that little 12-inch path or whatever. So to do that and have blind faith that everything would be okay after what he had been through was unbelievable.
Yeah, and there's a T.J. Martin, who's the president of South Carolina's POWs. He was a POW twice.
Wow.
They were captured, and he and another guy convinced the Chinese to let him go because if they kept him, they would only slow him down so many were wounded. So they let T.J. and another guy go,
mm-hmm.
and sure enough, they got recaptured.
Oh, my God.
Okay, the rest of the guys who were wounded, the lines caught up, they were free. T.J. spent the next 2 years and 3 months a second time as a POW. And
at least he knew what was going to happen. I mean, you know, what a horrible thing to go back
to. And that these guys don't get their Purple Hearts, that's a sin. No teeth, shoulders broken because of the rifle butts hit him, or their neck, their arms, and because there wasn't a doctor there, or their CO had been killed, there's no proof that they deserve a Purple Heart. And so they're having to literally jump through hoops to try and see if they can get the Purple
Heart. And they don't want to ask for the Purple Heart.
No.
You know, I think that's the other thing. I know I wouldn't. Well, you know, that's what I did. Okay. If somebody else gave it to you, that's one thing. But to have to ask for a Purple Heart, that should never be.
And you talk to them. They say to you, not me, those that got left behind, they're the heroes. Not me.
Right.
And I'm going, what? Bill Norwood, founder of the Korean POWs, he found a guitar that had two strings in it, and he used to serenade the camp at night. Two strings, one in tune, and would sing to him. He's a hero. I mean, in all those conditions, and to do care about your brothers that much, that's a hero.
It is a hero. And those are, they call them what, the unsung heroes?
Yeah.
Yeah. And he was doing the singing.
And I met Bill at Andersonville. And he introduced me to a number of other people. And actually, he took me down to Charlie Daniels, and he introduced me to Charlie Daniels. So,
there's somebody that's really involved with all our veterans in POW. Hey, I tell you what, we're going to join South Carolina News in Progress. I'm Ann Eller. We'll be back. We're here with Mike Nanny. If you want to give a call, 864-229-7984. That's 229-7984. Fascinating stuff. Don't you go away.
McDonald's presents Confessions of an Ex-Hipster.
I loved cappuccinos, so I put on an itchy turtleneck and grew a goatee. But before I knew it, I was into French films, indie rock, and not bathing. Luckily, I got help from McDonald's McCafe cappuccinos. Now I'm watching football, wearing khakis, even high-fiving again. Thank you, McDonald's.
New McCafe mochas, lattes, and cappuccinos from McDonald's. With fresh ground espresso and real steamed milk, it's all the coffee, hold the attitude. At participating McDonald's.
Visit your local McDonald's in Greenwood and Abbeville today.
That's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. We've just been talking off the air. I've been talking with Mike and the American Legion. And, of course, the American Legion up there in Spartanburg has become a very active organization in the last 5 or 6 years. What do you attribute that to, Mike?
It comes to mind immediately. Jack Wright, the commander, an awesome, awesome man and an awesome leader. His predecessor, Stuart Taylor, whose brother is Clayton Taylor, who is a Korean POW. These two guys are just awesome leaders. And I got the pleasure recently of meeting Robert Shearer, who's the fourth vice of the state. I mean, these guys are real leaders. And they just motivate you to just want to do more.
Yeah. I think, you know, one of the things that we were talking about is with the VFW and the American Legion, all of this, we end up with a lot of older guys. We need more younger guys that have served to become parts of these organizations, don't we?
Yes, we do. And I was so glad that they have an initiation ceremony. It's not an initiation, probably a bad choice of words, but you're brought into the American Legion. Okay, and there's a ceremony for it. It's not a secret organization or anything like that.
It's not a secret handshake or anything. No.
But there was like three or four guys that were there from Afghanistan.
Wow.
And
that's a young guy. Yeah.
Yeah. And they wanted. They heard about us. They wanted to be a part of us because we are a moving organization. We're doing stuff, and that makes you feel good.
Sure. Exactly. But that's what I think a lot of these organizations could really use would be some younger people on board. Right, Grace? Thank you. Gracie. All right, let's be quiet here. We're trying to have a serious conversation, Gracie. All right, so, Mike, what other things, how do people get involved and help with the veterans? I know your organization, and I know your wife has a lot to do with what goes on with the veterans.
She does two loads of laundry every day.
Loads of laundry?
Every day.
You change your clothes that much?
Oh, God. She goes to all the like Salvation Armies, the churches, the habitats, and she buys the used clothes. She cleans them, hems them, and then like the stand down we just did. She's the only civilian organization that was out there with clothes for the veterans.
And what's the stand down?
The stand down we just did that. There was 370 needy veterans from 11 counties that met in Spartanburg, and we fed them breakfast, lunch, and dinner. We got them clothing. There was a dentist. There were several dentists there. Free dental care. They got a free haircut. They got a shower.
Wow.
But it was for the veterans. And
you see a lot of homeless vets, don't you?
Yes. There, and it started off that we were saying for the homeless vets, but there are a lot of needy vets.
Mm-hmm.
So we said homeless slash needy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we've been doing. And Brenda's been very, very active. I mean, my garage is so full that I had to move my vehicle. I couldn't park there.
You can't park in your garage anymore.
So she's heart bigger than she is. And people will call and say, I got clothes. You know, my husband outgrew this.
Right.
or there was a death in the family. Would you let me take all these clothes? And we'd go get them. So.
But this stand down, now when was it?
This was a month ago. And it was, I'm trying to think, September 14th and through the 17th. It was only one day, but it took us 3 days to set up. And we've been meeting for a year in planning it. And the American Legion has been very, very active in serving on the committees, the planning committees, even driving the buses and going to pick up the homeless veterans, bringing them in, going to churches and asking for help, those kinds of things.
So this is something that you do in Spartanburg. Now, is this done around the country, or is
Dr. Craig Burnett actually came, I think he was originally from Florida, and he talks about having done stand downs all across the country. And so he brought an expertise to us that obviously we needed. And what a guy, a real, he's a soldier himself, or was a soldier. And rides motorcycle, and when you see him and you find out that he's a minister, you go, wow, and you ride a motorcycle. What a guy.
Well, the Pope got given one.
Yeah.
He didn't ride it. I guess he donated it, and they auctioned it off, but hey, still. So other things that, here in Greenwood, we have a homeless veterans center. In fact, one of the things that the VFW, the women of the VFW do, is they put together a laundry basket when they actually get someone graduating, I'll say, from living at the Kynard house, and they give them all the things to be able to start a household. And, that's a really nice thing.
It's a great thing. A church just yesterday donated pillowcases and that to the Wounded Warriors, and they gave that to us to present to them. You talked about a homeless shelter. There's a homeless shelter in Spartanburg. They had a handicapped accessible front door, mm-hmm. not wheelchair accessible, but handicapped accessible, and no regress. Bone Thunder, American Legion, DAV, the Military Order of Purple Heart, we all went together, did some donations, and got a grant from Home Depot.
Wow.
Built that ramp, and we helped supply the labor, too.
Right.
I'm the youngest of the group. I'm 64 years old, and we're out there hammering and nailing and cutting and carrying boards. Okay, but we built that handicap ramp for that shelter. And Home Depot, God bless them, they're a great group. They came back and planted trees and bushes around to add some extra flavor to it.
Right.
So people can do those things. You know, you see the signs for the organization, get involved. I'm not a veteran, and yet I'm helping out these veterans organizations. I don't have the only license in this. You people can do this.
Just takes really getting involved and a desire to help. And it's a very, very worthy organization, because after all, these guys, they were POWs, or they served our country both, but they are the ones that make it so that we are what we're able to do today, and what you and I are able to sit right here on the radio and talk about whatever we want to talk about.
Yeah.
So it's really, really important, and these are your opportunities. The women's of Foreign Wars, we had her on last week. Tremendous amount of things that they're doing, and the things that they do not only for our veterans but for our young people. Teaching our young people about the things, whether it's the folding of the flag,
yeah.
or what the proper way is to put the flag up, bring it down, all these type of things are things that if we're not careful, we're going to lose these things. Isn't that right? Don't you think, Mike?
Those are such saying to please. What do you do with how do you render honors? You know, you see these guys saluting and not saluting and putting a hand over the heart for the national anthem when they're playing it at racetracks. Mm-hmm. Believe it or not, a lot of the veterans don't realize that they don't need a hat. They don't even need to be dressed in a nice shirt to salute. When the national anthem is played or when a casket is coming by, a caisson with a flag on it, they can render honors. There was a Marine here. We were doing a veteran that came home from Afghanistan. Okay, and the Patriot Guard rider captain, old captain, came through and he said, "Veterans, when that caisson comes by, render honors." And the Marine was standing behind me. He says, "Oh, I didn't shave this morning. I need a haircut. I'm just wearing a t-shirt. I'm uncovered, meaning not wearing a cap." And I turned to him, and I walked up to him, and I pinched his t-shirt, and I said, "This does not define you. You're a Marine. You may salute. You served your country. You may salute. And I'll stand right next to you and salute with you." And when that caisson came, he snapped too. It was he didn't know that he could show the world he was a veteran.
Absolutely.
And we need that. We need all those in the station, in the stadiums. Stand. Show how many of you are veterans.
Absolutely. How many times do you go where they're having a special veteran ceremony and they play the music to each division of the armed the forces, and of course, and you see them, and then when you see all of them standing there at once, tremendous amount.
Yeah, that's moving. It is very moving.
Absolutely. Well, we are here with Mike Nanny. We're talking about how the little things that we can do to get involved to help that could turn into big things if you let it snowball and help out. But our veterans deserve it. Our veterans are precious, and our veterans are the people that we're talking about today because we want to salute them. Hey, we'll be right back. Don't you go away.
Gold dust at my feet on the sunny side of...
This year will be a simpler year. One fine gift to last a lifetime from Mother Earth with love. A diamond to light the way and create the energy to keep your love alive. Only at Sharp Facets Gallery, 1220 Bypass 72 Greenwood, 229-6276.
Ah, that's right. We're right back here, Sharp Facets Gallery. If there's one thing we have learned today out of all this conversation is, veterans, please have your DD-214 so that your family can honor you the way they would like to honor you, and that's by being able to do the special honors and the flag-draped casket and these type of things. They need to have that in order for the funeral home to be able to get this done for you, right?
Right.
And that is something that I didn't know, but that's a good piece of advice. Now, when we talk about the ride home, National POW Day, September 17th.
Every year, same. We've done it 13 years now. Okay. And we are a 501c3. We do take donations, but I'm not asking you to donate. I want you to come. Come first. Come see what it's like. Then you go home and you decide what you want to do. You'll probably go to your organization. You'll go to your church. You'll tell them, "Oh, I saw this. I talked to those people in the POWs, and they talked to me." Or the MIA families. It's not all about just POWs. Mm-hmm. There's the families of those who did not return.
Sure.
Meet them. We had some 20 there this year, 20 families.
Now, how many people are there at this organization, at this National POW Day?
Well, this year we had 80 POWs and about 20 or so MIA families. Last year we had over 153.
Wow.
But what's happening, they're dying.
Sure.
I mean, World War II guys, you know, not many of them around. And the Koreans, they're falling too. And of course, we talk about Vietnam and all the Agent Orange and the cancer that's been taking them. It's, you know, the numbers are going to get to the point where we're not going to have a POW. But we still need to remember them. We still need to show that in our schools and tell our kids about what it was like. War isn't free.
And it pays a very big price.
Yes, and it costs so much. And we need to know those things.
Do you think our children need to know those things, Mike? You were a teacher. You were a middle school teacher.
Yes, and I think they do need to. I mean, do you need to?
Is it outdated information because it was in the past? It's history.
No, I don't think so. I think all the things you're seeing on television now where the fathers and the mothers are coming home and they're surprising their kids at schools and ballparks and whatever, I think that the country needs to see more of that. They need to know, and our children need to know, hey, mom and dad are over there. And they might, you know, you hear all the stories that maybe they're not in a safe place. They need to know that. And next time you don't give homage or, you know, salute the flag or put your hand across your heart for the Pledge of Allegiance, you know, give it a thought. You know, somebody did an awful lot for you so that you could do that. And you need to at least honor and say thank you to them and respect them. We talked a minute ago, there's another salute. And of course, on radio, you can't see this. Okay? But there's a salute where you put your hand across your heart and you pull it away. Okay? That's a thank you salute. When you see a veteran, thank them.
Well, a lot of people think they don't want to hear it. And so many times veterans say, oh, it was just a job, it was nothing. You know, I always like to thank our veterans, but you do hear that a lot when you say that.
And it's so neat. My grandchildren, they'll see a veteran's cap. We've taught them because they know we're going to go over, and my wife and I are going to thank them. They'll go, Papa, a hat.
Right.
So, you know, they know that that's a military person, that's a veteran, and we need to give them special recognition.
Absolutely. But that shouldn't dissuade somebody because sometimes they say, oh, it was nothing, it was a job. They still, I think, deep down inside appreciate it. You know, even though they don't verbalize it or they don't show it.
And how many of the, certainly Vietnam and Korean, if we see that they have a Vietnam hat or a Korean or something, and you go up to them and just say to them, welcome home. So many veterans will start crying on you right there just because you said welcome home, because they came home and there wasn't a welcome for
them.
That's
true.
And just those heartfelt words, and it moves them. I didn't do this for naught. My friend didn't die for nothing.
Well, you know, we can't even describe what happened to so many guys over there and what they went through and what they saw and how unprepared they were for what they saw.
Yeah.
I mean, that is for sure. So thank God we have people that do sign up to be part of the military and want to go overseas and want to protect our country. But all of them, whether they're young or old, they all need that thank you.
Absolutely.
Mike, I know you've talked about how your wife has all these clothes and she washes and she has things prepared. Any other things that you would like people to know? You, of course, have gotten the riders, the motorcycle riders. I mean,
Legion riders, yes.
Yes, I mean, you have I'm sure you have a good time doing that. And, of course, you also have worked with the Vietnam Wall, helping do that and this type of thing. And you actually took your skills as a teacher and have turned it into a great retirement. Yeah. Did you ever think when you moved to North Carolina that these are the type of things you would be doing?
Not a chance.
What did you think you'd be doing?
I thought I'd be putting in a garden. Of course, then we had a drought the first few years we were here, so that went, literally went south.
Right. Yeah.
But no, I never thought for a moment I'd be doing what I'm doing right now.
And I guess it's brought a whole different element to your life.
Absolutely. And my wife is... It's just so remarkable. I mean, when the phone rings and you recognize the voice of that POW on the other end, or their wife, it's just a feeling, you know. You feel very special that you know you've done something to help.
Sure.
You know, and you can't put a value on that. It's just such a heartfelt feeling. And people can do it. You know, like I said earlier, I don't have the license on this. You know, you don't have to fill out any credentials or take a sworn statement or anything. Anybody can go out there and volunteer to help food, feed them, going to churches. And when Thanksgiving's coming up, go to the church. Volunteer to help. You know, you see, on 9/11, when we wave the flags over the bridges, stop, get a flag, wave it.
Right. There's all kinds of things you can do, and that is, we just opened here in Greenwood a Hall of Heroes Museum that is going to be taking in things. South Carolina is very blessed, or maybe not, that our history goes back all the way to the Revolutionary War and forward. So we have a lot of opportunity to have some great exhibits, and Sunday it was opening day, and it was a great turnout for it, and a lot of our veterans were there, and we had volunteers helping out there, sharing the stories, and I think that's a wonderful thing.
It is, and I really appreciate what you're doing. I mean, you're getting the word out there all the time. I have a limited audience. You're doing quite well.
Well, I like to get the stories out, and I like to share, and I like to be able to maybe inspire somebody to think of something that they hadn't thought of before. So
thank you very much.
And Mike, I know that you brought some pictures with us, and of course, over your service here, you have been getting all these the POW flags signed. What's that hat that you brought with us, the helmet?
Well, about 7 years ago, I met a POW from Korea. His name is Lester Tai. And he went to ride in his own escort. Well, he needed a helmet. So I lent him mine. Well, I couldn't go home.
Talking about not being able to go home, Mike.
Yeah. And so my wife and I looked for him for 3 days, and my wife finally found him with a silver pen and had him autograph the helmet.
And then asked for it back?
I got my helmet back. And the other name on here is Dallas Musman. He's a Korean POW. And you can see his name is twice as large as anybody else's. It's on this.
Yeah.
It's Dallas. And on the last one is World War II's his wife, Carol. She needed a helmet. Her husband was riding on a motorcycle next to it. So I gave her this, and she signed it. But to thank me, 1 year later, Lester Todd gave me this brown bag with two mason jars in it.
What was in those mason jars?
I don't know, but it's still sitting on my I do know. It's still sitting on my bar
downstairs.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Oh, it was potent.
Well, you know what? It's the stories and the fun, and that's what defines us in the end, doesn't it?
Yeah.
It does. And so we've got to help create memories, and we've got to help those that need help. You know, that's just what part of our life is about. And we should be doing it for our veterans, for anybody that needs the help. But our veterans gave so much to us, and sometimes we have a tendency to forget that because we're not actively involved in it. We weren't there. And, you know, from my standpoint, thank God I wasn't there. Absolutely, yes. But for those that did, thank you for doing it. Mike Nanny, thanks so much for coming down here and sharing your story with us here today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Absolutely. This is WCRS right here in Greenwood. Bye-bye, everybody.